Okay, so we're continuing in Shar HaRachamim, and we're learning the great value of having rachmanis and not just doing for people, but as we've been discussing, feeling for people and feeling for what it is that they go through. So the Orcha Sadiqim tells us, V'gam tzarich shelo yirachem al atzmo yoser midai. Very interesting and important piece of Musar. As important as it is to have rachmanis on other people, sometimes we feel too bad for ourselves. We have a little too much rachmanis on ourselves and not enough on other people. The two are not mutually exclusive, but sometimes just we're very good at rachamim as far as it concerns ourselves. What does he mean? Sometimes a person has to suffer a little bit in life, and in order to do mitzvos and in order to achieve what he's supposed to achieve in life, a person has to go through some struggles. Sometimes that's part of avodas Hashem. Just yesterday in Morosh HaKolel, I was talking to Rabbi Willig, and he was explaining to me all the new buildings and what they've done and what they turned into a volleyball court, and how they took his tennis courts and put up basketball hoops all over his tennis courts, and all these different things that they did. And he said, "You see that big white box? There are 17 double-decker beds there." Good. That's the way you learn Torah, when you have 17 double-decker beds crammed into a little space. A person come and say, at home I have my own room, my maid cleans up after me. I can't live like this. I can't live under these conditions. But then what are you going to do? Then you'll be home and you'll be doing whatever, not learning Torah all day. Sometimes a person has to suffer a little bit in order to be able to. Halavai, that should be the worst suffering we have, that we get to be in camp over the summer. But in order to learn Torah, a person can't spoil himself and always feel badly for himself. Oh, I have too much of a headache. That I think they say from Shlomo Zalman, that someone said to Rav Shlomo Zalman, "I don't think I'm going to make it to Shir today," or something, or the Talmidim, "I have a headache." Rav Shlomo Zalman just smiled and said, "Oh, if I didn't learn every time I have a headache, I never would have learned." He was never feeling good, but he pushed himself to learn more and to not always feel so badly for himself. Okay, so that's feeling bad for oneself. A person shouldn't always have so much rachmanis on himself. It should be noted, of course, that a person has to take care of himself. A person has to make sure that you don't get sick. I remember when I was in yeshiva in Keren Biavne, there was a guy, after graduate actually, who Shana Aleph, he got so serious about learning, he decided he doesn't need to sleep anymore. Pshuto k'mashmal, doesn't need a bed anymore. He gave away his bed to somebody else. Pashut didn't have a bed, so he spent 3 months at home recuperating from the illness that he had from sleeping on the bench in the yeshiva's base medrash for an hour and a half a night or whatever crazy thing he did. Not so healthy. A person has to take care of himself also. So there's like most things in life, moderation. A person has to be has to live moderately. V'chein yirachem al krovav ha'aniyim. A person should also have rachmanos. I feel like singing this to a beat. A person should have rachmanis on his relatives who may be poor. That a person shouldn't hide from his relatives, from his own flesh and blood. But not only relatives, on all aniyim. Well, wait a second. If you have to have rachmanis on all aniyim, what are we adding when we say? So what the pasuk is teaching us, and the halacha tells us, is that of course a person has to have rachmanis on every Jewish person, on all of humanity really, and then on every Jewish person more so than all of humanity, and on your relatives more so than every Jewish person. That it's understood, it makes sense, that those who are closest to you, you're going to have a little more rachmanis, you're going to feel a little more for them, and that's fine, and that's healthy, and that's good. You should have closer relationships and further relationships. We discussed earlier in the summer Rav Asher Weiss's tshuva about donating a kidney, and how he said that it's karov l'chiyuv. Can you think of a single halachic reason why it would be a chiyuv? And most people, if you would ask them what the moral thing to do is it the right and moral thing, if Rachman al-Tzlan, someone's father is dying and they need your kidney, to donate your kidney? Almost everyone would say, of course, that's the right and moral thing to do. If what if it's your uncle? okay, maybe a little less. What if it's someone you don't know? It's just another Jew. Is it the right and moral thing to do, that you should feel a moral imperative to do it? Most people would say, no, you should not feel a moral imperative. It's a really nice thing. It's really wonderful, if you will, that you should not feel a moral imperative. Halachically, what's the difference? Right? Halachically, if the person is in need and you can save a life, right? So halachically, what's the difference? Hard to really put your finger on it. But intuitively, we sense that there is a difference. This pasuk teaches us that it's okay to treat a relative differently than you would treat somebody else. Of course, we should treat everyone with a great sense of kindness and rachmanos, but it's understood that for a relative, I think I mentioned there's a fellow in my shul who just donated a kidney to his father, and I went over to him and I said, wow, such a big mitzvah, what an amazing thing you did. And he said, who wouldn't do that for their own father? I was like, that's right. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, as Rabbi Balzer pointed out. It's true, who wouldn't do it? But at the same time, it's still a great thing that you did. But for another person, you know, then who wouldn't do it? I don't know how many people in the room have donated kidneys to random strangers. Most people don't do it. It's understood that there's going to be more of a sense of rachmanos for a relative. But here's something we don't often think about, that it's a greater mitzvah to have rachmanos on yirei Hashem, on those who are truly pious people. V'zeu ikur harachmanos. And that is really the primary rachmanos one has to have. Hachonim v'amrachim ovdei Hashem v'osim ritzono. To have rachmanos on those who serve Hashem and do His will. Maybe related to Mibsar Chalotis Alam, meaning just like it's understood, you can have a little more rachmanos on those who are closer to you, those who are your relatives. Maybe it's also understood, by the same token, one should feel closest to Yirei Hashem. One is supposed to be mizdabek to tzaddikim and to talmidei chachamim, because that's the way that we connect to the Ribono Shlom. The Gemara says, "Ubosid b'akum." The Gemara says, "Is it possible to be mizdabek v'akodesh baruch hu eish uchlo, who is an all-consuming fire? How could you be mizdabek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu?" So the Gemara has, in a couple of places, a couple of different answers. But one answer the Gemara gives is to be mizdabek to talmidei chachamim, and through that we'll be mizdabek to olavei Hashem and to those who are karov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So a person has, there's a requirement to connect to great Talmidei Chachamim. It's a requirement to connect to great Tzaddikim. So they should feel more like relatives. Meaning, when Rav Eliashiv Zichrono Livracha needed surgery, I think he was something like 101 years old or something, and he needed to get surgery, they flew him to America, they flew in the top doctor, the top surgeon from America, you know, a cost of hundreds of thousands of dollars, that some gevurim put up the money in order to make sure that Rav Eliashiv gets the best care possible. Now, would those gevurim do that for anybody else? Would they pay all that money for anybody else to get surgery? Now, I'm sure there are tons of people that need all kinds of surgery. So is that wrong that they do it for Rav Eliashiv and they wouldn't do it for anybody else? Hard to say that that's wrong, meaning it could be. Again, that's an extreme level of kindness, and it's an extreme act of kindness beyond what's normally expected for a person to do. That level of extreme act of kindness maybe should be reserved for those who are extremely close to the Ribono Shel Olam, that there's this sense of rachmanus for Yirei Hashem. Aval yesh rachmanus shira'a yoser me'achzorios. He says, however, there is a type of rachmanus, and of course we always think of rachmanus as generally a positive midah, but the premise of this entire sefer is that there's no such thing as a good midah that's entirely good or a bad midah that's entirely bad. And here's where he has the caveat, the however, when it comes to rachmanus. Not all rachmanus is good. Achzorios is generally a bad midah, to be cruel and to be mean and to be unfeeling toward people. It's generally a bad midah, but sometimes we'll see, maybe not this summer, but sometimes we'll see that that's a good midah too. Sometimes rachmanus is worse than achzarius. Kigon, hamerachim al rishayim ha-machzik osam. Someone who's merachim al rishayim, meaning this is the flip side of being merachim al tzaddikim. Being merachim al tzaddikim is the greatest milah. Being merachim al rishayim is the worst. V'yesh michshol gadol l'ish hamagbi'a rishayim v'nosin lem yad. And it's, you know, sometimes a person sees that a Rasha is going through something and he inadvertently strengthens the Rasha birish uso. And he strengthens the Rasha's ability to be mashbi'a rish uso al acherin, to be mashbi'a his horrible evil ways on other people. And by virtue of doing that, he's lowering the good people. That a person shouldn't have rachmanus on such a person. Now, there's a very specific context to that pasuk. That lo sachma lo chasel lov. What's that pasuk talking about? You know, it's by a mesis. Dafka by someone who's mesis, someone who causes others to do avodah zarah, someone who causes others to. Rav Moshe has a tshuva where Rav Moshe explains that mesis doesn't only mean someone who causes others to do avodah zarah. That's the worst form of mesis. Mesis is someone who goes out of his way to get others to do averos. Rav Moshe has a very big chiddush la'alacha that most poskim reject, and I think if I were to ask any of you in the room what you would think the halacha is in this case, you would assume not like Rav Moshe. Can you invite a non-religious Jew to your house on Shabbos knowing that he's going to drive? So you know, what's the psak that you've heard over the years? Oh, never heard any psak in this issue.
As long as you offer him to stay.
What? As long as you offer him to stay. Right, I invite him Friday night, so he'll come before Shabbos, and often say, you know he's not going to. You know, you invite your coworker, sleep over. Like, dude, we just met, you know? Like, what kind, like, it would be weird, but he's not going to. Afal pike, offer him to stay. That is the psak of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Rav Moshe says, you're going to invite someone, and because you're inviting him, you know that he's going to drive. Mesis! It's an Isser Mesis. Wow, Mesis. What does that have to do with Avodah Zarah? Nothing. There's Mesis Bashari Surim as well. And that's who we say, Lo Sachos, Lo Sachmal, don't have any Rachmanos. Don't, right? That's why he's quoting that book. He says, Dafka, V'lo Sachmal, don't have any Rachmanos on him. Normally, when it comes to even people who've done terrible averos, but they've done for themselves terrible averos. They haven't been trying to be machti other people. They've just done personally terrible averos. So even with such people, there is a mitzvah to have rachmanus on them. You know, when they're standing, you know, din Torah, and we're trying to figure out, are they chayv misa, are they not chayv misa? So the mitzvah is to be tzilu ha'eda. You do whatever you can to try to save them, with the exception of the mesis. Throw the book at him. No v'yitzilu ha'eda. You do whatever you can to make him suffer. Because one has a lower sense of rachmanos on a person who influences others in a bad way. That's Rav Moshe's psak, I think, in terms of throwing kids out of yeshiva. When do you throw a kid out of yeshiva? What does he have to do to be thrown out of yeshiva? You know, I've seen some kids over the years do some pretty terrible things and not get thrown out of yeshiva, even though they've done some pretty terrible things. What's the geder? So the geder is that most yeshivas work with. At what point is he going to be... when he gets to the point where he's being mashpia in a very negative way at other people, and he's becoming a mesis, so you have to protect the other talmidim. If this is a person... If the other talmidim, they're not even goris him, they feel bad for him, Nebuch, he's so messed up, and he's so whatever, and he has no direction. Okay, so he's doing what he's doing, he's not affecting other people, but to the extent that other people are being mushpa, so that's the geder that most yeshivas follow. You know, how they define that exactly is where, you know, that's always, you know, that's the rub a little bit, you know, to exactly how you define a bad hashpa. Someone's going to see a boy with a haircut like that, and they're going to, you know, they'll become such bums, you know. Okay, well, maybe, you know, that's a little bit of a broad definition, you know. So, but that's the psak, because someone who has a bad influence on others, who causes others to do averos, he's the ultimate achzari. He's the cruelest person. So we can't have rachmanis on such a person. V'gam lo yirachim al ani badin. Furthermore, you have to understand the proper context for rachmanis. If there's a din Torah in front of you, and there's a guy who's right and the guy who's wrong, but Nebuch, the guy who's wrong, can't catch a break. Everything in his life has been terrible. He's had illness in the family, and he's had bad luck with Parnassa, and he's so he happens to be wrong in this case. So maybe show him a little rachmanus, let him win, even though he doesn't really deserve to win. No, that's an issur in the Torah. Beis Din is a place of mishpat, it's a place of justice, and we can't allow injustice. It's going to be at the expense of someone else. Kedichsev v'dal lo seder b'rivam. So yeah, it's a place of shalom as well. So that's pshara. That's when the people agree to have a pshara.
Isn't there a Gemara? I think it's in Bava Metzia. Last year that. The guy is, the judge makes a judgment at the base, and then they find out that he's poor, so he says, okay, switch it, you have to pay him.
Oh, that he could pay out of pocket.
Oh, it was out of pocket?
We don't pervert justice just because of the desperation of this ani. V'yesh rachmanus shehi kachzorius. There is rachmanus that's like kachzorius, that's like cruelty. Kigon hanosein tzedakah la'ani. This is also such a powerful point, each line in this paragraph. Hanosein tzedakah la'ani v'achar kach machbid ulo ala oso ani. A person gives tzedakah to a poor person, and then he has created this unhealthy power relationship with the ani, because the ani knows that you helped him, he knows that you saved him, and therefore vomer nesati l'chakach v'kach tzarechata l'troach avari v'lavodosik kol asharashes alecha. Oh, you owe me one. So now, because I saved you in your time of need, whatever I ask of you, you have to do for me. You know, I send you an email, a response within a second. I want it right away. Why? Because you owe me one. So, you know, so you're not going to treat me like you treat anybody else. You should treat me differently. It's an unhealthy power relationship. A person's tzedakah should not be to try to create that kind of relationship. And that's why it's best when the recipient of your tzedakah is unaware who the giver is, and even better when the giver is unaware who the, when it's double anonymous, when it's double blind, when the giver has no idea who the recipient is. That rachme rishayim is achzarius. I once had the privilege, the opportunity. When I was in college, there was a guy by the name, I think his name was Jay Feinberg, who desperately needed a bone marrow transplant. Didn't know him, but his family and he did a great job before the age of the internet, you know, before the internet was big and before social media, of having the world, the entire Jewish world, knew that this guy needed a bone marrow transplant, and everyone was getting tested. So I got tested. It was my early admissions year, so I guess the equivalent of a senior in high school. I got it wasn't a swab then, it was a blood test. So I was not a match for Jay Feinberg. Thank God he did find a match. He later started his own organization that helps Jewish people who are looking for matches for bone marrow. That organization has saved many lives. But anyway, years later, I got a phone call saying that I was a match for somebody else. So, and it's not so easy to be a match for somebody. So, how do you not do it? By that time, they weren't even cutting you open. All they're doing is just putting two needles in your arms, and you just sit there for a few hours like this, and that was it. You go home, and it's like really no big deal. It was a few injections for a few days in advance, and you sit like this for 5 hours. Boom, you saved a life. So they asked me, do you want to meet? A year later, they called me back. They said, do you want to meet the person? So I was very uncomfortable. I said, look, if they really, really want to meet me, I'm willing to meet them. I'd rather not, though. Like, unless they really want to meet me, I'd rather not. Why not? It's just like it's an unhealthy relationship. Like, I'd feel like too much of a balgaiv at that point. You know, like, oh, you owe me, like, a pretty big one, you know? Like, why? Because God happened to make me a match for you? Like, it's just not a healthy... I just didn't feel like I would be able to handle that in a healthy way. There are many people that they find it's very fulfilling for the recipient that they're able to express sakar stuff. I'm not saying anything bad about people who do. I'm just, sometimes these power relationships, we should be aware of that we shouldn't try to be someone who holds something over other people. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow.